This is a strategy that is designed to get us to a COVID normal Christmas.
Freer movement in Australia. It's Wednesday, September 30th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll also find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, talking tough with Taliban, taxing issues for President Trump, business in Asia, mailing votes, and looking into the internet. It's all on today's VOA Asia. A curfew imposed to curb the spread of the coronavirus has been lifted in the Australian city of Melbourne. The Victorian state government has said that a fall in the number of infections is allowing them to gradually relax other restrictions. Melbourne was placed into a second lockdown in July because of a spike in COVID-19 cases. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
New cases of COVID-19 in Melbourne have fallen enough that officials are talking about reopening the city. In late July, authorities had reported more than 700 new daily infections. On Monday, they recorded just 5 cases. Infections have fallen sufficiently for Australia's second biggest city to move to the second of a 4-step recovery plan. A nighttime curfew has ended, and all primary schools will reopen in 2 weeks' time, while about 130,000 people will be allowed back to work. The next step could be taken earlier than its scheduled date of October 26. To achieve a COVID normal status, Victoria would need to have recorded no new infections for 28 days. Victoria Premier Daniel Andrews says the state is so close to beating the coronavirus. He hopes other restrictions will soon be lifted.
This is a strategy that is designed to get us to a COVID normal Christmas. We are well on track. In fact, we are ahead of time when it comes to achieving that outcome. That is a credit to every single Victorian who is staying the course, working hard, making sacrifices.
Many personal freedoms remain restricted in Melbourne. Residents can only leave their homes for one of 4 reasons, including study, work, and caregiving. A second wave of infections in Victoria is blamed on security failures in the hotel quarantine system for Australian travellers returning from overseas. A judicial inquiry has heard that travellers infected hotel staff, who then spread the disease into the community with devastating consequences. Victoria has had 75% of Australia's confirmed COVID-19 cases and most of its fatalities. New South Wales, the nation's most populous state, Sunday recorded no new infections for the first time since early June. Australia has had about 27,000 confirmed coronavirus cases since the pandemic began. More than 870 people have died. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. Observers say China's denial of unofficial median line in Taiwan Strait fuels unnecessary tensions. Amnesty International suspends operations in India. Afghan team told to be flexible in negotiating with Taliban. Pakistan's anti-graft agency arrests, indicts opposition leaders. Tired of staying at home? How about a flight to nowhere? You'll find these stories and much more with expanded coverage of photos, videos, and text all on Facebook at VOA Asia. And of course, stop by our voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Millions of Afghans are closely watching preliminary peace talks between the Afghan government and the Taliban in Doha. Many are waiting to see whether the political freedoms and rights gained over the last 19 years will be protected in a future peace deal. VOA's Najiba Khalil spoke to Mohammed Naeem, a spokesperson for the Taliban's political office in Qatar via Skype, about women's rights, press freedom, as well as Taliban attacks, and filed this report, narrated by Bejan Hamdard.
One key topic for the peace talks in Doha is the status of Afghan women's rights. In an interview with VOA, the Taliban's political office spokesperson in Qatar, Mohammed Naeem, explained the group's stance.
I must say that we have our own country, our own nation, and our own values. We cannot bring the values of other societies and impose them on our society. For example, we cannot justify women's rights on the basis of the values that exist in the United States, in Europe, and in other countries. Our nation does not want this at all. Our nation is Muslim.
Others say over the past two decades, Afghanistan's women have preserved their Islamic values while gaining new rights and opportunities.
No Afghan woman has lost her Islamic values. Every Afghan woman wants to lead her daily life, government work, and social, cultural, and political work based on Islamic and Afghan cultural values.
Washington's position on the issue remains firm, says U.S. Special Representative for Afghanistan Reconciliation Zalmay Khalilzad, who briefed American lawmakers this month.
I want to assure you that human rights, women's rights, the rights of minorities and children, indeed all citizens of Afghanistan, but particularly women, is of the highest importance to the United States.
When they were last in power, the Taliban banned television and tightly controlled most radio. After their exit in 2001, Afghan media flourished as tens of television stations and hundreds of radio stations launched. Many journalists now worry speech rights could be in jeopardy.
Freedom of expression does not mean that someone should come in and insult the values of the nation. This is not acceptable in the United States, in Europe, or anywhere else.
The Afghan Journalist Safety Committee says the government should defend the gains the country has made toward establishing a free press.
The government prides itself on free reporting and free media. If it hurts these freedoms itself, I don't think it would have a strong argument with its rival in talks.
Civilians have paid a terrible price in Afghanistan's war. A United Nations report estimated in 2019 that more than 100,000 civilians had been killed or wounded. The Taliban maintain they have tried to avoid the casualties, even though for years the group has carried out suicide bomb attacks in densely populated markets and cities.
Everyone's interpretation is their own interpretation. The war here is not about civilian casualties. Of course, war has casualties everywhere in the world. We try very hard not to have civilian casualties. That is why we have formed a commission in our organization called the Civil Loss Prevention Commission. Civilian losses on our part are very limited.
Deputy spokesperson of Afghanistan's defense ministry, Fawad Minapol, disagrees.
In fact, it was the Taliban who increased the rate of violence and war in Afghanistan. The people of Afghanistan know that the Taliban have stepped up their terrorist attacks, from suicide attacks to bombings, and every day sacrificing the Afghan people.
Despite many differences, the Taliban are optimistic about a peace deal.
We hope that the negotiations will reach a conclusion. We are not disappointed. We hope to reach a conclusion as we reach an agreement with the Americans. It may take time. There may be problems, but we are hopeful.
The peace talks in Doha have no end date, and it remains unclear if they will come to a resolution. In the meantime, the fighting continues in Afghanistan. For Najiba Khalil in Washington, D.C., Bejan Hamdard, VOA News.
Happening now in Asia, South Korea says the civilian government official shot and killed by North Korean troops last week at a maritime border was trying to defect to the north. South Korea's Coast Guard Chief of Investigation and Intelligence says the conclusion was reached based on military intelligence and other evidence gathered from the scene. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad to have you with us today on VOA Asia. New reported revelations that President Donald Trump paid little in federal taxes, along with the president's unsubstantiated allegations of mail-in voting fraud and the political battle to name a new conservative Supreme Court justice before the November election, have shifted media focus of the U.S. presidential campaign away from the coronavirus pandemic. VOA's Brian Padden reports on how both Trump and Democratic challenger Joe Biden are reacting to these issues as they are preparing for their first of three presidential debates a short time from now, and how all of this might impact the race for the White House.
President Trump on Sunday denied a New York Times report alleging that as a billionaire real estate developer, he avoided paying any federal income taxes in 10 of the last 15 years and paid only $750 in 2016 and in 2017, his first year in the White House.
Totally fake news. No, actually, I paid tax, but and you'll see that as soon as my tax returns. It's underwater, and they've been underwater for a long time. The IRS does not treat me well.
Democratic candidate Joe Biden's campaign responded with an ad contrasting how little the president reportedly paid in taxes with the thousands of dollars working Americans like teachers, nurses, and firefighters pay. The new focus on taxes could put the president on the defensive as the two major presidential contenders prepare to face off in their first debate on Tuesday night in Cleveland, Ohio. Biden has tried to keep the campaign focused on what he says is Trump's failure to contain the deadly coronavirus pandemic that has caused more than 200,000 deaths nationwide. Trump has defended his administration's pandemic response and has questioned the legitimacy of mail-in voting, as polling indicates significantly more Democrats than Republicans will send in absentee ballots because of the coronavirus. In naming federal appeals court judge Amy Coney Barrett to fill the Supreme Court vacancy left by the recent death of liberal justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Trump has also touted how he delivered a conservative majority court that will protect gun owner rights and restrict legal abortion. Biden and Democrats have warned their supporters that a conservative court will likely restrict women's rights, gay marriage, and overturn expanded federal health care protections.
It's no mystery about what's happening here. President Trump is trying to throw out the Affordable Care Act. He's been trying to do it for the last 4 years. The Republican Party has been trying to eliminate it for a decade.
However, analysts say the constant focus on Trump could be a disadvantage for his campaign, which has struggled to make Biden's competency an issue and portray his policies as socialist and radical.
The Trump campaign has failed in making this a choice election. They have not been able to elevate the questions around Joe Biden's candidacy and potential presidency.
Tuesday's debate will give both candidates a major opportunity to change the dynamics of the race with just weeks to go before the election. Brian Padden, VOA News, Washington.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see with links to easily find them. VOA Asia Twitter, we're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. Foreign experts are criticizing China for the use of experimental COVID vaccines before clinical trials have been completed. Vaccines usually require years of research and testing before being made available to the public. You'll find all the stories coming your way throughout the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia.
I'm Ira. Ira Melman. After a five-month delay due to the coronavirus pandemic, crowds are able to pack into the only international car show of the year in Beijing, with reduced ticket sales to lower crowd numbers. While China has been able to keep coronavirus under control, travel restrictions are still in effect. Most international executives are staying home and introducing new models over virtual presentations. As electric cars gain more and more popularity each year, the event features electric vehicles from a variety of automakers. Kent Ove Bovalan, executive chief architecture engineer of Geely's Vehicle Architecture Center, sees great future of electric vehicles.
So EV cars definitely will grow, especially when they have the regulation coming on IC cars in fuel economy.
Beijing is targeting to have a 25% adoption of energy-saving vehicles by 2025. Cars are not the only electric vehicles on display. XPeng, a Chinese electric vehicle firm, is taking the chance to show off its Kiwi Gogo, a drone-like vehicle that can carry two people. The vehicle is considered a symbol of hope for flying cars. Vietnamese Lotus silk maker Phan Thai Thuan has been weaving since she was 6 years old in her village on the outskirts of Hanoi. But 3 years ago, Phan found a new opening in the lotus stems left to rot in the nearby fields after the seeds had been harvested for food. She began obtaining the fiber found in the stems to make lotus silk, an exclusive fabric highly sought after by fashion designers. Today, Phan has a team of 20 that are mostly female who break off the stems in the paddies before they remove the delicate fibers and roll them into thread.
I aim to train the young generation to do this work of making lotus silk, especially students during summer holiday, because they are intelligent, swift-handed, and creative.
Phan described the process as painstaking, as just a large scarf requires the thread of around 9,200 stems, and it would take just one worker around 2 months to finish. However, she still insists the finished product is worth it. Nian Tai Shua was taught by Phan in 2017.
To make a product from lotus silk, it requires the workers to have skills, be dexterous, and also patient.
Lotus scarves on average go for 10 times the price of a regular scarf. For Business Scene, I'm Ira Melman.
There is no current evidence that dogs can be infected. Hand washing after contact with all animals is recommended. This protects against other bacteria, such as E. coli and Salmonella, that can pass between animals and humans. For more information, visit www.who.int or www.cdc.gov.
Now on VOA Asia, when it comes to elections, most Americans vote in person at neighborhood polling stations. That's likely going to change in November's general election, when millions of people are expected to vote by mail, and many for the first time because of the COVID-19 pandemic. While convenient for many, what are the safeguards and risks with voting by mail? Michelle Quinn explores.
For election officials nationwide, it's time to get ready for the big event, Election Day 2020, when millions of voters decide who will be the next president. This year, voting itself presents an enormous challenge because of the pandemic. The response? Most states are greatly expanding voting by mail.
If we assume that somewhere between 65% and 75% of all ballots cast in the 2020 presidential election come by mail, that means that somewhere between 90 million and 105 million ballots might come through the mail. That's a very, very significant volume of mail.
Of course, there are numerous logistical and security challenges to voting by mail. Registering voters, for one, and then getting the right ballots to voters.
Sometimes you hear talk as if blank ballots are simply being sent out into the world almost willy-nilly, without control. And that's simply not the case.
Voters receive ballots that are specially printed for their precinct with barcodes with encoded information tied to the person's voter registration. After voting, the voter mails their ballot or takes it to a drop-off center. Then the county's voting software system goes to work. Digital scanners take images of the outside of the ballot to make sure the voter's signature on the outside matches the one the county has on file. A digital scanner scans the ballots and counting begins. Any anomaly, a missing or wrong signature, a stray mark, is sent to a team for review.
It's like a factory floor, right? They keep getting outsorted based on, I'd say it's quality control standards, because we have to look at the signature more closely.
Voters can track their ballot's progress, much like the way they can track a package being delivered via text messages or a ballot tracking app. The process is also anonymous. The ballot's envelope is separated from the actual ballot as it is being counted.
The voters' personal information and the concreteness of their reality have been physically dissociated from each other. That's a really critical step in our democracy in terms of protecting the secrecy and the privacy of the vote.
But voting by mail isn't a panacea. Not everyone who votes gets their ballots counted.
They arrive too late, or more importantly, they're postmarked too late, or the voter didn't sign the envelope, or the signature doesn't match sufficiently the voter's signature on file.
This year, the state has extended the window for mail-in ballots. Counties must contact voters to validate their signatures if there is a problem. Even with these reforms, Alexander worries about one group, young and new voters.
They have three strikes against them. They are unfamiliar with voting. They are not very familiar with how the U.S. Postal Service works, and they're not used to making a signature.
Racing the clock, checking voter registrations, sending mailers to get the word out about how to vote by mail. That's what election officials are doing now. Some are warning final election results may not be known for weeks. Michelle Quinn, VOA News, San Francisco.
The advent of the smartphone has changed human behavior. Will smart glasses be the next big intelligent technology? Google tried it more than 6 years ago with the Google Glass. It did not take off largely because of privacy concerns, but companies big and small in several countries are still working on smart glasses, including Facebook. And there are also reports that Apple is working on a version. VOA's Elizabeth Lee has more on what's currently on the market and their varied applications.
First, there was the keyboard, then the touchscreen. Some tech companies say a wearable pair of glasses could be the next leap in technology, even if it didn't work out for Google Glass.
In the future, we won't be only limited to our smartphones when it comes to understanding the world around us. So this is our early investment in that future.
The U.S.-based company Snap's investment is this, the Spectacles 3 sunglasses. This third version is smarter than the previous ones. It has two cameras. The corner of the glasses lights up when recording video and allows the wearer to put 3D objects in the video. Here are some flowers.
The bird, which is really cool.
Users can capture up to a minute of video. In a very different application, the M-Glass by Hong Kong-based Pacific Future allows theme park visitors to have a different kind of experience through augmented reality. During the launch of the smart glasses during Halloween, this park became extra scary.
So there's a ghost everywhere, mixed with the real, like, buildings.
The glasses are used in theme parks in China and Malaysia. With a processor inside, these augmented reality glasses are designed for ages 12 and up because of its weight and size. Augmented reality security glasses made by Beijing-based Gultan can be used by police to identify suspects.
He can set a blacklist and scan in a crowded people and find a criminal very soon.
Armed with facial recognition software, video or images captured by these smart glasses can be sent to security officials off-site for analysis. Of course, there are privacy concerns with any device that comes with built-in cameras. One of the reasons consumers rejected Google Glass. Still, the race is on for tech companies big and small to turn an everyday item like glasses into something smarter. Elizabeth Lee, VOA News.
That's all the time we have today for VOA Asia, but you may continue on with us online. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube under the name VOA Asia. And of course, you'll find our full-length 25-minute programs available each and every day at our website, voanews.com. As we thank you for joining us, we also thank our team that helps bring you this program. Managing Editor Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead. Be safe. Be well.